Well, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected most Iowans in a variety of ways. Community advocate and anti-violence movie producer Cindy Waite has worked behind the scenes to help during the COVID-19 pandemic through the Kind World Foundation. Earlier this month, the governor of Iowa ended the mask mandate in the state. It's a move that Waite calls psychological abuse. Waite shares her thoughts with Siouxland Public Media's Sheila Brummer.
The Kind World, what we've done over the past, I guess, year almost at this point, is we've really focused a lot of our grants on COVID safety. We've done PSAs. We donated to the food bank. We donated PPE to the hospitals and masks to the schools and just a number of other agencies to really, really help the Siouxland we love. And my family was all born here, and we love Sioux City, and we love our neighbors. And so we decided to make that a priority. So we were really, really happy that we could do that. We also worked with the city to supply, I think, thousands of masks, which they were distributing, which was great. So we were just pleased that so many people, not just us, so many people up and, you know, helping out nonprofits and making masks. I mean, it was just great to see. That being said, I think that what happens here is that, for instance, some of my siblings who come back from California say, what's going on in Iowa? In California, everybody's masked, or, you know, Minnesota. I've got a brother in Minnesota, and they're kind of astonished by the lack of mask wearing. Now, I know that so many people wear masks and so many businesses are requiring masks, and I thank them from the bottom of my heart. I just don't understand why people don't listen to science and don't say to themselves, hey, this is the science. This is what's happening. I can protect others first and have some protection themselves. So the whole anti-mask movement has become so politicized, and I don't understand that either, because it's essentially public health. So Dr. Perencevich, who compared anti-maskers and people that don't wear masks to drunk driving, in that, you know, you can cause harm to yourself or others. And so to me, it's always been incredible to just try to understand the mindset. You know, it's not that hard to do. Put the mask on. You're going to protect yourself. You're going to save lives. And I've never understood that mindset. I hear a lot of people saying, you know, I can't wear one because I have this condition and I have this condition. You know, my mother is going to be 90. She has several underlying conditions and she wears her mask. And my 5-year-old nieces wear their mask, and I have some underlying things that I have anxiety, which people say, well, I have too much anxiety wearing a mask. I get that, but I wear the mask. So it's just, I don't understand it. And as far as the governor, I think she dropped this so suddenly, as our numbers were improving, which was great that they're improving. But why drop it when you're getting better? I think it's like, okay, there's a burning building and the firemen are there and they're really making progress on that fire. And the fire is diminishing and it's doing better. And then they say, you know, halfway or 3/4 of the way through, well, it's still burning, but we've done really well. Let's leave now. Well, then what's going to happen? It's been burned down. So I guess I could compare it to that.
This week, the United States surpassed 500,000 deaths due to COVID-19. And if you look at the United States versus South Korea, they have heavy masking there. They've always had that, even during a flu season. And just the amount, the difference between the two countries, United States, it's a 0.15% death rate. It is 50 yes. times less in South Korea, 0.003%, according to some math that I did. I mean,
yes.
that shows that has to show masks work.
It really does. And my brother, who's traveled, you know, all over the world and for business and other reasons, and he and I had a talk about certain cultures, you know, in Japan, whatever, they wear masks. So it's not that big of a deal. It's just like they do it. They wear masks. So he said in some of those cultures, it's not this unknown thing. And I think, of course, the United States were like, what is this? So we all, you know, kind of struggled with what the heck is this. But as we saw the science, we're like, absolutely, 100% wear masks. So it's culture to culture. It's interesting. You know, I look at Australia. A friend of mine is over there now. And they emailed and said, it's so nice to live without COVID. And I don't know what they did a lot right. And I think the challenge for this country is that we're a patchwork quilt. There's 50 states, and we don't, for instance, President Biden wanted to issue a nationwide mask mandate, but because of laws, he was not able to do that. He was able to do it in federal buildings all over the United States, which was great. So we have kind of a different system here where, okay, in California, you wear a mask and then you go to the next state and you don't. My sister drove back from California to Iowa this last summer. And she said, as they came farther west, you know, they started out in California and they went through the states. And she said, you know, once we hit Nebraska, it was like, what is this? You know? So it really has been strange how each state has kind of reacted to this. But that depends on what the laws are. And I think it would have been very easy and much more tolerable and safer had she just said, hey, we have a mask mandate. Here's the law, as many, many other states did. I think 36 other states. I'm not sure exactly how many now. I think it confused people, too. They didn't know, you know, is my child still going to have to wear a mask in school? Oh, my God, you know. Will my doctor's office still have a mask? So I was watching the comments after she dropped this bombshell, and what I saw is a lot of fear. And that kind of drove me to examine this in a different way, probably from the lens of me being a violence prevention activist and doing this work for so many years. And I thought, all right, there's a lot of fear going on. There's a lot of confusion, a lot of misunderstanding. And I thought, this is really abusive. And I look at it from not only the lens of it's physically abusive because, you know, people can inadvertently spread this if they're not wearing a mask and they can sicken other people, and other people may die because of it. So it's obviously that. But I looked at it from a psychological abuse standpoint. And psychological abuse, I'm going to find my quote here that I wrote. Psychological abuse can kind of live with physical abuse. It doesn't always happen that way. So when we look at abusive relationships, many of them just have emotional or mental abuse or psychological abuse. Many then go on to be physical violence. But psychological abuse is so traumatic to those who suffer it. And I know that, you know, talking to many victims of psychological abuse, whether it be bullying in school, cyberbullying, psychological abuse at work or in the home, it absolutely traumatizes those people. When I read the comments, when I felt what I felt, you know, that was kind of my first reaction. Is like, this is really scary. Well, how is this going to affect, you know, where people can go? What's going to happen? And I was talking to people and they were like, what did she just do? She not only made news in Iowa, but it was national, where epidemiologists are saying, what is she doing? What is she thinking? She did not consult her Iowa Department of Health, which I found very unusual. I did not understand that one bit. Doctors have been telling her this is not the way to go. So I don't understand her push to avoid science and just kind of make her own decisions. But her decisions, again, because she's governor, affect us all. And so when I was reading the fear and the comments from people, particularly one frontline worker who said that coming into their store, and this is a store that mandated masks, and coming into their store and saying, we don't have to wear them anymore. The governor says we don't. He's been threatened. one of them said, I'm going to come back with a gun. He's been physically threatened. Another business owner told me that their customers were coming in saying, your mask policy is wrong now. It's not legal. The governor said, we don't have to wear masks. And they said, hey, it's up to the private business to decide. It isn't just the governor. So I've been hearing a lot of pushback from people who have to work in stores or own a business or whatever, that people are now actively challenging this, not thinking about, hey, this is a private business. They can say no shirt, no shoes, no service, or no mask. It's their decision. And so they've been getting pushback and threats. People have been going into places saying, I'll never come back here again. I'm not sure how that helps the economy. So the definition that I found that really, really talked about how insidious psychological abuse is it's meant to distort, confuse, or influence a person's thoughts, actions within their everyday lives, changing their sense of self and harming their well-being. And so I kind of went through these comments and I'm like, people are feeling confused. People's well-being is being threatened. And it's influencing what happens in their daily life. People have said to me, oh my God, I went in and before this business was requiring masks and now it's open season. So I can't go back into that business right now. I want to be safe. So I really do feel, I'm not saying, you know, when I met the governor, I met her at an anti-violence, anti-bullying event here in Sioux City. And we were doing a lot of work in the high schools around anti-violence and bullying. And she and then Governor Branstad came up and they were so complimentary of the work that Sioux City was doing and the Sioux City schools were doing in high schools. And she, to this day, has talked about how excited she was to see that. And she's really behind that. I really felt that about her. And she and I had a nice talk, and I felt that she absolutely would be an advocate against any type of violence. So to me, there was such a disconnect on the person that I met and spoke to and the person that so supportive of anti-violence and bullying work, and then puts a policy out there that really is abusive. So to me, it was just a disconnect. That's all. I guess, you know, I'm not a medical professional, so, you know, I don't have the authority to say, you know, mask up or whatever. I mean, I would say from everything I've read, please continue wearing your mask. I'm not out there that much. I just hear reports of it's going well here, it's not going well there. But I would just encourage people, you know, if you want to see our numbers continue to decrease, particularly with new variants coming in that are more contagious, it's more important than ever right now to keep those masks on to protect yourself and others.
That's Cindy Waite of Sioux City. Waite released a new essay about the psychological abuse of Iowa's no mask-related policy. You can find a link to the piece on our website. Waite also says the Sioux City Journal plans to publish her editorial in the near future.